Welcome to the Agency in Focus, NASA, sponsored by Leidos. Now, here's your host, Tom Temin.
The James Webb Space Telescope is NASA's most ambitious and far-seeing scientific program, and one of its most expensive. A recent independent review had recommendations for contractor Northrop Grumman and with the program itself. With how the agency is getting the Webb on track, I spoke with Program Director Gregory Robinson.
So we did a breach statement to Congress the end of March this year, and we realized we would not make 2018, and realized also that we were perhaps would not make a year from now. And during that time, we had what we call our standing review board. It's one of our internal review boards, independent, do a schedule assessment. They came back with what we call a 70% confidence in a May 2020 new date. And we also convened this IRB, Independent Review Board, led by Tom Young, to look at the program overall. And they did this over an eight-week period, which is pretty fast for something like this, and with mission success as the number one theme and everything else supporting. During that time, the end of April, as we had the spacecraft and acoustics testing and came out of that, realized we had some issues with the sunshield covers. You've heard about the screws and nuts. And that set us back a few more months.
What is the state of the build right now? Is it essentially complete but not just needs some rework, or what is the state of it?
The build of the...
Webb telescope itself.
Oh, so, good question. I'm glad you asked. So the telescope and the instruments are completely developed, and they completed all of the environmental testing at Johnson Space Center and were delivered to Northrop Grumman at Space Park early this calendar year. So that's ready to go. It still goes through some follow-up testing, all at the WARM. They don't go back into a chamber anymore. So that will be ready to integrate with the spacecraft as soon as the spacecraft is ready. Now, the spacecraft side, we call it the spacecraft element, which is the spacecraft bus plus that sun shield, the five-layer membrane, tennis court size, Wimbledon time, so tennis court is appropriate, sun shield to protect the instruments from the heat of the sun. So the spacecraft element is completely built, and it was starting its environmental testing, just like Otis had gone through back in April, and we had the issues at the end of April. So it's completely built. As we finish the rework on these covers, and we'll put these back on the spacecraft over the next month or so, and do some closeout work, and we'll get the spacecraft element back into its environmental testing later this calendar year.
And by environmental testing, that means to see if it can withstand the elements from space. You simulate that on the ground?
That's correct. So there are two major environments we normally test for. One is to simulate the launch environment. When you launch on a rocket, you get a lot of what we call shake, rattle, and roll. It shakes it pretty good. And also, the spacecraft is encapsulated inside the fairing, the big thing up top. So just like standing by a speaker at a concert, you get a lot of vibration noise from that fairing going uphill. So we simulate both of those environments, and we normally call that mechanical testing, where we do acoustics testing to simulate that noise. We do vibration testing to simulate the shake of the rocket. And then we simulate the space environment itself in thermal vacuum. You know, space gets very hot, gets very cold, and, you know, the pressure is quite different from Earth.
And when the machine itself is finally launched and it's in orbit, will it then have a pretty constant temperature once it's orbiting?
Well, the temperature goes up and down, but not to the same extreme that we test at. And again, the purpose of the sun shield is to keep the instruments and the spacecraft electronics to keep those at a relatively constant temperature. There's still some variability, but not extreme.
Sure. We're speaking with Gregory Robinson. He is the James Webb Telescope Program Director at NASA. And so if everything is ready to launch and test, what's going to take between now and 2020? What's the issue that you can't launch right now?
Well, so the new launch date is actually March 2021. When we talked 2020, the IRB had not completed their work, and nor at the time we had not experienced the problem with the sunshield covers. So between their recommendations, the IRBs, and the issue with the covers, that has actually pushed us out into March of 2021.
And the IRB, the Independent Review Board, raised some issues that it felt that Northrop Grumman Aerospace Systems, your contractor, should do differently. What are some of those?
So the IRB raised, I would say, several significant issues. Two of those were, one was to eliminate or mitigate as much as possible human errors. We'd had a few human errors out at Northrop during integration and test, and those certainly set us back by a long ways. On a mission this size and this complex, small problems really caused a huge impact. So one of the things is to mitigate human errors. Humans are humans, so we're going to make some, and to make sure we mitigate those and put in some safety nets in the event that they do occur. An example would be having an inspector check something after it's actually done. And we have those called out in what we call an inspection. Some people call them mandatory inspection points.
Sure. And another, I guess, suggestion that NASA liked, that your group liked, is that if someone raises their hand and says, wait a minute, this isn't right, almost like the old Japanese style of stopping a production line when a assembly worker sees something wrong, is to reward those people rather than try to get around them.
Yes, and that's actually in place. I think Northrop has done a really good job in that area, and they've actually instituted a lot of work in those areas. We've seen some benefits from that.
And the board also mentioned the idea of what I thought were cultural issues, that is, getting down to people at the working level, the responsible design engineers, making sure that they really feel ownership for what it is they have to do with this program.
Yes, that's correct, and they've always felt ownership. The Northrop model, particularly at NGAS, has been when RDEs deliver their hardware or their system, they generally go work on another system. And they're heavily needed and heavily sought after, so it's hard to keep them in one place. So what we've done is we bring in many, if not all, of those RDEs back to Webb until it's done. So they can provide the most knowledge when you're doing integration or testing on what's going on and what's not going on.
And I wanted to ask you also about an issue which is yet in the future, and that is actually transporting the telescope from where it is assembled and where it's all put together to the launch site. I guess that has some security issues and some other dangers. It's kind of a delicate transfer.
So as you know, the Webb is a pretty significant international collaboration. We have the Canadian CSA have an instrument and fine guidance sensor on the observatory, and ESA was a strong partner of ours. Same thing with an instrument, some other hardware, and they're also supplying the launch vehicle, and that's Ariane 5. And as you know, the Ariane launches out of French Guiana, so that's where we'll be launching Webb from, and we're gonna ship it from Long Beach in California through the Panama Canal, down to French Guiana. And we have some things that we've already taken a look at and we'll put in place from a security standpoint. So we're not too concerned about that. So we're confident in our plan, but certainly not overconfident. So we have some things in place. And historically, that launch site has been fairly safe anyhow.
Just out of curiosity, how big is the telescope? It's hard to tell from the pictures.
The telescope is huge. I would have to give you the actual dimensions at some point. But the actual telescope itself is 6.5 meters, which is quite big, much, much larger than Hubble, and 100 times better, as you've seen in some of the communications.
But it's as big as, say, like a panel truck, it sounds like.
It's actually bigger than that, yes.
Wow. And so when the time comes to launch, will you be able to watch?
Be able to watch the launch?
Yeah, without closing your eyes or covering your eyes?
Well, I've done many launches in my days, and you never want to cover your eyes. It's an amazing thing to see a launch. So, no, I will be watching with a fast heartbeat.
Right. Okay. That sounds. Yeah, I can imagine that.
Well, by the way, one of the things you mentioned IRB. One of the things that they've been resounding on is the value of web. So you've seen in some of the communications that the IRB was quite unanimous in the value of web, the importance, and that it should continue. They did emphasize mission success, and they believe if we execute these recommendations and do all our normal work appropriately, web is certainly worth the wait, and I support them on that.
Gregory Robinson is Program Director for the James Webb Space Telescope at NASA. In part two of the interview, Robinson describes what the Webb Telescope will be able to do and why NASA describes that as awesome. I'm Tom Temin.
This year, NASA celebrates its 60th anniversary. That's six decades of important work and reaching new heights.
And we have liftoff.
At Leidos, the team of IT experts, engineers, and scientists that support NASA are exceptionally honored to enable more missions for the offices and directorates that come together to conduct deep space exploration, advance human spaceflight, and encourage the world to think beyond the horizon. See a message from the team at Leidos.com/NASA.
When NASA used the words incredible and awesome to describe the future capabilities of the James Webb Space Telescope, program reviewers were skeptical. But when they understood what this device is designed to do, they changed their minds. For what it will do and how it will do it, I spoke with the James Webb Space Telescope Program Director, Gregory Robinson, and asked him what the Webb Telescope is precisely.
It's four very complex, innovative instruments. Of course, the spacecraft bus itself, and it has the huge telescope. And the purpose of the spacecraft or the observatory is really to look back in cosmic time and search for origins and first light. I mean, that's its primary purpose. And some of the technology can see back much better than Hubble in infrared, and not many current observatories have that capability. So we'll be able to see back further in time. First light. Of course, as you know, since we've learned about exoplanets, Webb was not designed with exoplanets in mind, but it has extreme capability in that area as well. So as we uncover more exoplanets, as we've done with Kepler, and we do with the TESS spacecraft that launched a couple of months ago, Webb will give us a lot of resolution into those exoplanets to see how habitable they are.
And is there an optical element to it, a lens in the web? That is, does it have a lens also as well as infrared detectors?
It's primarily the detectors, but it does have some lens.
And when you say looking far back, that means much further away because light has been traveling for all these billions and billions of years. How do you, this sounds like a basic question, but how do you know which way to look to get backwards rather than looking where the light is going?
Well, generally, if you think we're on Earth, so we use spacecraft to increase our ability to look out, just like we would stand on Earth and look out at the stars as we did when we were kids, right? So we build huge telescopes on Earth and look out from the Earth, and we take that same telescope or same type and put it out in space so we can get a better vantage point. But generally, we're still looking in the same direction, out away from Earth.
Yes.
And in this case, Webb would be about 1 million miles away from Earth.
I was going to ask, where will it be? It's still orbiting the Earth, though, correct?
It's still orbiting, but it would be at L2.
And that's 1 million miles up?
That's 1 million miles up, yes.
And it's pointable, correct? I mean, it can be oriented and tilted this way and that way. If you see,
yes.
Say, you see an exoplanet and you want to take a closer look, you can aim it there, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
And how long does it take for an execution to reach the telescope, and how long does it take till you know that it did what you told it to do?
So I'm not sure what that is.
Well, I guess if light's 186,000 miles per second, it takes a few seconds anyway to get up there and back.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
a million miles.
It takes some time, yeah.
Yeah.
But we still don't defy the speed of light.
No, we haven't quite done that yet. We could get to the Big Bang in a couple of minutes, I guess, if we could. And the output of it, what is the output of the telescope? Is it primarily data feeds coming, you know, down to an Earth ground station?
Yeah, it's primarily data. And just like with most spacecraft, we collect that data, we archive it, and scientists do their research and analysis using that data. And just as we are still getting data from Hubble and doing analysis on data from Hubble from many years back, so scientists will analyze this data and make discoveries for many years to come.
Gregory Robinson is Program Director for the James Webb Space Telescope at NASA. I'm Tom Temin.
This year, NASA celebrates its 60th anniversary. That's six decades of important work and reaching new heights.
And we have liftoff.
At Leidos, the team of IT experts, engineers, and scientists that support NASA are exceptionally honored to enable more missions for the offices and directorates that come together to conduct deep space exploration, advance human spaceflight, and encourage the world to think beyond the horizon. See a message from the team at Leidos.com/NASA.
We're speaking with Gregory Robinson. He's the James Webb Space Telescope Program Director at NASA. And under the Hubble program, people rent time on it, so to speak, or it's shared among different entities, public and private and scientific and governmental. How does the program work to do things on the web when it's launched?
Again, that's a science question. The Institute up in Baltimore is actually doing the science operations for us. So they're managing that entire piece of it.
Other people, many entities around the world will get a chance as their time comes up to be able to use the Webb Space Telescope.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes.
Can this machine be updated if you decide down the line to add a capability or there's a way to enhance what it does? Can that be done as it floats a million miles away?
No. What you see is what you get. Like with most spacecraft, we do updates on software to enhance a little capability in certain areas, but it's not meant to be improved over time.
Now, the Hubble, when it first came out, had a problem with nearsightedness, I think is what they called it a long time ago. Eventually, it was repaired in space. That sounds like it would not be possible because of the orbit that the Webb will be in?
Well, a couple of reasons. So Hubble was designed initially to be serviceable. So we had servicing in mind from the beginning. So when you design and build a spacecraft, you would do it a little bit different if you know you're going to service it or want to service it than if you're not planning to. Perhaps you would make things a little more modular. You would have more things exposed to the exterior, so easy to access, and many other areas like that. In the case of Webb, it was not intended nor designed and developed for serviceability. But that's something we're actually taking a quick look at over the next few months to see if there are some capabilities we can scar in if we had to. So perhaps it could be serviceable. But we're not there yet.
Yes, because between the original launch date, which I think was 2007, and 2021, the microelectronics have advanced and so on. So is it possible to update it before it leaves in a way that is consistent with the reliability that you want on it?
No. That would certainly add to the risk, the technical risk, and add a lot to schedule and cost. So we think we have the right observatory for the science we're intending to get. The main thing now is we have to get this thing tested and launched and commissioned over the next couple of years. And I think we're going to have fantastic science for many years to come. And you'll hear a lot from us over the next few months and couple of years that the Webb is worth the wait. And we really believe that because of the capability that it will produce.
Now, you've had a lot of jobs at NASA over the years. And as a senior person on this program, is this the biggest challenge yet?
I've had a lot of challenges in my career. And this is certainly one of the larger challenges I've had. It's important to know that U.S. leadership in astrophysics and astronomy is just critical, and Webb keeps us in that slot, in that top slot in the world. And that's very important to the U.S. taxpayer.
Gregory Robinson is Program Director for the James Webb Space Telescope at NASA. Find a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus NASA, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency in Focus.
This year, NASA celebrates its 60th anniversary. That's six decades of important work and reaching new heights.
And we have liftoff.
At Leidos, the team of IT experts, engineers, and scientists that support NASA are exceptionally honored to enable more missions for the offices and directorates that come together to conduct deep space exploration, advance human spaceflight, and encourage the world to think beyond the horizon. See a message from the team at Leidos.com/NASA.